I heard a man give, it was a clergyman, and he gave an invocation at a AA banquet one time, and he gave a startling and magnificent definition of today. He defined a given day, this day, if you wish, today, as a manageable segment of time. Now, I would like just momentarily to discuss this business of the past, the present, and the future before I get into this business of living a day at a time. I've heard some erroneous notions about past, present, and future. I've heard people look at others and say, forget your past and you have no future. The only thing we've got is today. Live it. Well, that's not quite accurate. My past is deathly important to me because it almost dictates the way I'm going to live today. AA makes us recall our past every time we get up to tell our stories. Doesn't the big book say that we should tell what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now? I am, well, ordered to draw up my past constantly. I'm to remember it. But if I have done my fourth and fifth steps, I have resolved my past. And every time I bring it up, it won't hurt me anymore. Why is my past important? Because it explains the me that is here. Every man is his own monument. Every man is a monument to his own life. And every today that I live is a tile that goes into the mosaic of the picture that you're looking at this moment. My past is important because I can learn from it. I can learn from it. Now, if you're like me, there's a lot of my past I'm proud of, really. And there's a lot of my past I'm ashamed of. There is one infallible fact about my past. I cannot change it. I cannot change it. I can do one thing with my past. I can commend it to the mercy of God. And I'd be a fool not to. My future? I've heard too many people say, nobody's got a future. When tomorrow comes, it'll be today. That's a cute playing around with words. I have had a future for 57 years. And I've got a future. The only mystery about the future is I don't know how much of it I've got. Now, I have heard people in AA refer to others who are planning something in the future. You're projecting, you're projecting, you're projecting. Now, projecting means to sit on a park bench and speculate about what you're going to do 38 years from now with the $20 million you're going to earn next year. That's projecting. But if any of you are parents and you are trying to provide for the education of your children, you are acting in a perfectly normal, sensible, human way, and you should be doing that. And if you're saving for next year's AA banquet a few pennies a week, that's normal providing for the future. The only thing I can't do with my future is predict it. And so the only thing I can do with my future is commend it to the providence or the protection of God. We have to be sensible about our past and our future. I have a past. I can learn from it. I can offer it up to the mercy of God. I can commend it to His mercy. And my future I can commend to His divine providence. What AA tries to tell us is don't live in the past and don't live in the future and miss the present. AA tries to make us concentrate on this day because this day is the one that has been given to me to use. I can control at least some of today. I can't control it all. I can't determine whether there's going to be a hurricane or not. But I can determine my action. I can determine how my will is going to function this day. That's why today is important. Because this day, today, will be the next tile that I'm going to stick into the mosaic of my life. God, how important each today is to everybody, but to the alcoholic especially. These days, as we call them, are the work-rest unit that is given to us, whereby we function and live. These days, the 2 days of our lives, are the segments of time we use to function in. Now hold on to your dentures. How do we use them? As they come. One at a time. One at a time. And AA sometimes has us use years of our lives grasping that notion. How do most of us try to live the todays of our lives? Well, we try to do 18 days work in one, and we fail, and we get discouraged, and we quit. It's just, how many of you have kids that, well, this is a new project he's in. It'll last maybe a month. How many of us did that? I got interested in tropical fish. That lasted for about 4 months. They kept dying on me. I got interested in photography. I've had about 78,000 cameras in my life. I still don't know much about taking pictures. We all jump into things, and without going about it logically, we want tomorrow yesterday. And we fail in the things we do, and we drop them. We drop them. We drop them. Many of you, as I say, functioned that way, as I did and still do in some areas of my life. And many of you have kids who run from one project to another simply because they don't have the stick-to-itiveness to do today's work today. They want to do today and tomorrow and next month's work today. They fail at it. They become discouraged. They don't learn. They're afraid of work. They're afraid of sweat. They want everything simply to come now, and it doesn't, and they quit. If we then adopt the principle of easy does it, I will grow a day's growth in a day's time, I must adopt the principle of living one day at a time. Now, how do I use today? See, this is the thing sometimes that stumps me in AA. All of our magnificent slogans, we shove them down the throats of the brand new alcoholic, brand new member of AA, without explaining what they mean. You know, you look at some poor guy and say, just take it a day at a time, friend. And he's thinking, how? How do I live a day at a time? How do I use this day? Let go and let God. Let God what? You know, turn it over. Turn what over? I can't turn my studies over. God doesn't have to pass this exam. I do. One day at a time. How do I live a day at a time? Through planning mainly. Through planning. We will use today as we use anything else. Or we should use today as we should use anything else intelligently. I've got a 24-hour segment to use. Now about a third of it I'm going to spend unconscious in sleep. I'll get up somewhere between 6 and 8. If most humans get up within that time frame. All right. At the beginning of any single day, I think that the AA would be very wise to ask God for help to stay sober that day. That's the prime job of his life. And so the beginning of any day is dreadfully important. I think that there's a magnificent line in one of the Psalms that says, to you, O Lord, I lift up my eyes at dawn. At dawn. The first fruits of everything were offered by ancients to God. The first animal that opens the womb, the first grain of the first harvest, and it had to be unblemished and pure. How about the first fruits of our day? We open our eyes and we say, Dear Lord, this day is yours. I give it to you. Any action or activity that I perform today, I offer to you. Keep me sober this day, please. Make me grateful for yesterday's sobriety. You've practically bought today's sobriety. All right. I think that at the beginning of any day, and a lot of AA members have gotten into this, number one, use your little 24-hour-a-day book. It's a magnificent thing. You can do it in a minute. Just give your first fruits to God. Dedicate your day to God. And then do a little bit of serious thinking about planning the activities of this day. In other words, I have to set goals. I have to have goals in life. Ultimate big goals, and then the little goals that I set for this day's activity. What are the ultimate goals of the alcoholic? Number one, first things really do come first. Sobriety. Without it, I've got nothing. Sobriety is the base of the pyramid of my life. That is primary. All of the activity of this day has that primarily in mind. Because if I'm not sober first, there won't be any second things or third things to come after it. Sobriety is first. So I have got to plan my day centered around my sobriety. It means I don't walk into bars, you know, for starters, that's the negative part. And it means that if I should, I go to a meeting tonight, I call my sponsor, whatever it is. The things that are absolutely essential to my sobriety, those things come first. So I keep the ultimate goal of my life, sobriety, in mind. Now, the second thing is that if first things come first, then second things have to come second. I happen to be a priest. You may be an engineer. You may be a builder. You may be a writer. You may be a homemaker. You may be anything. And so these things come second, and you set out the plans for them. Let me share this with you. I think it's important. When I was a seminarian about 712 years ago down at Old St. Mary's on Packer Street in downtown Baltimore, we had a professor there. He's still living, by the way. He's retired. He's about 1,406 years old. But anyway, it was in a class. He was talking about planning a day. And it was a marvelous thing. It was simplicity itself, very intelligent, very simple. He said, in the morning, he said, we all get up and we have meditation, 1 hour of mass, a brief breakfast, a quick half-hour recreation to get a smoke. You go up to perform your morning duties and you prepare for your first class. Before you prepare for that class, sit down with a little bit of little bitty notebook and write out. Be sensible about it. Write out the things that you have to do today. This afternoon I have to put in an hour in the library to work on a paper. I want to read some of such and such a book, and I have to write a letter home. Today is Thursday or Saturday or whatever it is. He said, you get your little list. Now be sensible about it. You don't put things down like, I have to prepare for my golden jubilee, so I'll start early. You know, be sensible. What can I do today? He said, write them out. And then do them. Write them out and then do them. And if I have accomplished, at the end of this day, if I have accomplished what I set out to do, the opposite of discouragement happens. I'm very encouraged by the way I'm living. I'm doing what I set out to do. Makes sense. Makes eminent sense. Haste does make waste. Preparation makes for success. Now, every one of us has a lot of goals. Apart from sobriety, there's a whole lot of living problems that we have to face. How many of you have ever said, after years and years of completely destructive drinking and living accordingly, my God, will my self-respect ever come back? How will I ever be reconciled with my family again? We may not get back together, but I wonder if we could ever just be friends. Great Scott, I owe this man $30,000. Will that ever come? My friends, if you just look at the big overwhelming things that have to be done, just that way, they can almost bury you. They can almost bury you. Will I ever get well? Will I ever achieve some sort of maturity? Will I always act like a spoiled brat? Will I always react to people the way I do now? by picking at their little idiosyncrasies. Will my memory ever come back to what it ought to be? Well, let me share a couple things with you from, well, one person that I know of and one that I know. You're all familiar with the name Babe Dietrichson Zaharias, very, very famous woman athlete, probably the woman athlete of the century, really. She's dead now. Physically, she was not the most attractive woman who ever lived, but a brilliant, deeply respected athlete and person. And they tell the story that one day she was on a golf course and she was at the tee and drove off just with this magnificent patented swing of hers. And she smacked that ball and it just went exactly where she wanted to put it. It was a picture in grace. And some man said to her, "Gee, babe, what a beautiful swing. You must have been born with it." And Babe Dietrichson looked at him as she bent over to pick up her tee. She said, "Born with it, hell. I got that swing from smacking 1,000 golf balls every day for a lot of years." I know a young man who passionately loves bowling. And he's good. He's a professional. And he's good. And that comes from bowling 100 games every week of his life. And I've seen him bowl when sometimes his fingers were so raw that it hurt me to watch him. But he had that stick-to-itiveness of bowling a certain number of games every day. He knew he could do it. He set that down as his goal for this day, and he did it. And he does it up to this day. If I live life as it is meant to be lived, a day at a time, and if I get up in the morning and do some serious thinking and maybe a little praying, asking God for the strength to do what needs to be done within this day, I can do anything. Here's a fellow says, "I owe $30,000. How in the world am I ever going to pay it back? I only make $212 a week. Let me share this with you from a young AA that I know. He owed doctors. He owed dentists. He owed rent. And when he got sober, well, he had no license to drive an automobile. He lost that a long while ago through the point system. He had no license. As time went by, one day at a time, at the proper date, he had his license restored. He saved his pennies, and the first car he bought as an AA member, it was a former taxi cab that he got for $45. When he first went to meetings, he used to ride on a bus and the fellows would drive him home. And he always had them to leave him off at the corner so they couldn't see where he lived. He was too ashamed of it. Today, 15 years later, he owns his own home. He said, "I was never so thrilled when I saved up money enough to buy a coffee pot for my house." And you know what he did with the doctors and the dentists and the landlords and the landladies? He went to each one of them after he got sober. He said, "Now look, I only make so much, I owe you so much, and I will repay you every nickel. Just be patient with me and I'll pay you a little each week." Some of them he paid 25 cents a week to. Today, he owes no man. Your self-respect will return when you become respectable. And you will become respectable by living this life each day at a time. And as you pile up one day on top of another, there's that much more respect you have earned. Your self-respect will return. You live this program a day at a time. It'll come back. Your family, I can't predict. I can't predict. All I do know is this. If you return by living as you should to becoming the human being you ought to be, you will have earned not only your own respect, but you will have earned the respect of others. And if they do not give it to you, then they have a problem. So, I realistically look at what can be done each day, and I do a little teensy bit at a time. A blade of grass will grow a day's growth in a day's time. So I sit down. I look at this day. If it's raining, I cannot do something that demands clear weather. So I plan accordingly. I do something that I've been wanting to do inside, but that I couldn't simply because I was busy with things outside. I simply look at this day. I see or plan out what I can do. I write that down, try to do it. I accept what I cannot do today, and I accept that for what it's worth. It can't be done today, so I won't fret about it. I do what I can, and I don't get myself into a stew about not accomplishing what I couldn't and can't accomplish anyway. So it's easy do it, easy does it by doing it one day at a time. And my friends, one day at a time, I can face anything. I can face the prospect of not drinking, even though I've been drinking all of my life. And I can face living and all of its problems, trying to regain everything that I've lost a little bit at a time, one day at a time. And so from the Sanskrit proverb that begins our 24-hour-a-day book, look to this day, for it is life, the very life of life. In its brief course lie all the realities and verities of existence, the bliss of growth, the splendor of action, the glory of power. For yesterday is but a dream, and tomorrow is only a vision. But today, well lived, makes every yesterday a dream of happiness, and every tomorrow a vision of hope. Look well, therefore, to this day. Thank you and good evening.